Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This is a special holiday week edition of our program. USDA's acreage and grain stocks report lift market. Is it the start of something good for producers? We'll try to find out today.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to our program. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Top Third's Jim Heminger. Our panelists in studio today include Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois. Now here are the closing settlement prices from Friday's trade, the last trade for the holiday weekend, and we'll give you the week-to-week trade. July futures in the soft red had a high last week of $4.92, a low at $4.40 with a settlement price Friday to Friday 31.5 cents higher at $4.87¾. July of next year at $5.81 for the soft red, up 25 cents. July corn futures 367¼ for the high, the low at 24.5. A settlement price at 364, up 23.5. And December futures 384.5. The settlement price up 24 cents week over week. July soybeans $9.73 on the high, the low at 43¼. July beans settled 962¾, up 5¾. And the Novembers at 905¾ were down 6¼ cents on the week. July oats at 243, a penny and one quarter higher on the week. Live cattle futures, $90.50 for the high, the low at $87.90. Settlement price up 10 at $89.47¼. August feeders at $112.67¼, down 52.5. And lean hog futures settled the nearby July contract with a high price of $81.05, a low on the week at $78.15. Finished 252.5 lower at $78.20. 400 pounds.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In studio again with us today are Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois. Chuck Shelby, let's start with you. USDA reports, how did they change producers' look at the marketplace this week, if at all?
I think it was a drastic change. What it did in reality gave corn producers the opportunity to get a price where they can make some money again. We were dangerously looking at some unprofitable prices in corn.
Jackie Vakes?
I will echo that. That's exactly the answer I had. And what's really interesting, too, is we're hearing that old crop corn with the 30-cent increase that it had actually brought along with it an additional 10-cent improvement in basis. So.
And Mike Georgie.
Well, I don't know how much it changed the producers' aspect because across the country, a lot of them are looking at some less than ideal corn. But it definitely changed the idea of the trading venue. They went in Tuesday night very bearish, and Wednesday morning they definitely had an eye-opening experience.
Okay, Jackie and Chuck, I want to come back to you because you said it changed things. It gave them an opportunity. At that point, does that mean it changed things and they had an opportunity and then back down we go?
No, I think so. I think it's a longer-term change. I think it set the trade on notice that the corn price really wasn't high enough after the January report caused the break and the market fell apart. Producers just weren't stimulated to plant those acres. I think it also pointed out to the trade that farmers don't just continue to drive when the weather is good. We've already mapped out our GPS, and the tractor knows where it's going to stop. So that was something I think the trade will learn for next year.
And, Jackie, maybe you can follow up on that and then put it in context, too, of next week's WASDE reports on the 9th day of July. Of course, there's a crop production report, but that usually doesn't mean too much. But the WASDE numbers should be interesting now that we have a change in acreage.
Oh, there's no question about that. I think one of the things that concerns me, and I know it changed every farmer's attitude. I've never seen as much bullishness in quite a while. But at the same time, not seeing any improvement in open interest, in other words, no new buyers, makes it suspect as to how far we're going to push in this particular move.
Is this the point which you'd agree with her?
Yes. This 386 or 387 on the January or June 21st high, it's a 100-day moving average. We're going to need some more bullish news to move past this. I mean, if the funds come in and buy, we could go higher, but I think we're going to need some more bullish news to go over $4, that's for sure.
Well, and I think one of the other things that's in the background on this is we had the Dow Jones go down a great deal this week. And anytime we see a lot of margin calls over in that particular market, you many times will see short covering, or just doing whatever the opposite is to take your profits out of the market to be able to make margin calls over there. We just didn't see enough fund buying this week on these two things.
Let's go through some of the numbers from USDA. They're still fresh in most people's minds, but it did give producers on corn and beans a more bullish attitude than they've had for a while. In corn, USDA's June acreage estimate now says 87.87 million acres were put in the ground. The average trade guess was 89.2, and the 87.8 is actually down from the 88.8 that USDA had in place on a prospective plantings report back at the end of March. And then there were the quarterly grain stocks report. That number on hand as of June the 1st at 4.31 billion bushels is quite a little bit lower than the 4.598 billion than most had expected. And it was a number that surprised producers and the trade a lot on that morning of the report.
I think it goes back to the fact that the energy in that kernel of corn was not what it was like the previous years. And the livestock producer, we did meetings last winter with Purdue University swine specialists. It was going to take more bushels of corn to feed those hogs. The ground piles we saw that were rotted out there, the low test weights, you put that all together, you're just not getting as much out of that bushel of corn as we had in the past.
Well, I think to add to that, too, I'm not surprised in some places, because I think guys put they look at a 50,000 bushel bin, they fill it, and you think of it as a 50,000 bushel bin. I think some of these guys went back and said, uh-oh, I don't really have 50,000 bushels, and therefore we didn't maybe have as large a crop as what they thought we did either.
But, well, that can't really be, because they measure the crop off pounds. They don't measure it off volume.
Well, but the guy who puts it into a bin.
I mean, it may be that USDA and NASS got things wrong by that, but not by volume, I wouldn't think.
Well,
they do by pounds.
The thing that I was going to say, Todd, when you look at volume, it takes more room up in that same 50,000 bushel bin. That's
right.
What I'm saying. So guys thought they had 50,000 bushels and might have reported it, and now they're pulling corn out of there and finding out that they didn't have 50,000 bushels in there.
And so you're
due to light test weight.
Right, your expectation. And then you think that the beans were off on report two?
On the acres?
On acres.
I think that's the biggest
acres. From last
acres.
Year, that
well,
is.
Well, I think when you look at that, I think that, yes, I think the numbers were too big, and it's being adjusted as we go through this process. So, the bottom line would be when you go back and look at the numbers, the January report wasn't favorable to farmers, and this report is. So there's just a different element here who's unhappy with the report.
Yeah, I suppose it really doesn't matter whether they're right or wrong. It's the numbers that we play in today, right?
That's what producers were told last January, so the other side takes it now.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. I mean, this year, from our March to May quarterly report this year, we used 26% more corn than last year. And, yes, we did use more for ethanol and exports, but I do believe, too, that they had to adjust some for the old crop.
Is there a cautionary tale in the quarterly reports that sometimes they are tough to tell what the end of the year number is going to look like based off the quarterlies because they move so much? you think?
I think it's a difficult job. You know, we've had folks here that NASA, and it is a difficult job, and especially when you have such big variables as the weather, and it is a hard job, and it's going to be take some adjustments. The bigger the numbers, the bigger the bushels we deal with, a smaller percentage change makes a big difference.
So the real question is, do you believe that producers should temper their bullishness?
I go back to what we said before. We're looking to sell corn in the $4 area. We want $9-plus dollar beans. When we get those opportunities, which we're going to get, take advantage and do something.
I couldn't agree more. I think that you have to – the idea that we're going to go to 450 corn like some guys are talking right now is only real if we have a severe weather problem coming in probably the next 6 weeks. Otherwise, I don't think right now we're going there. Not to say we couldn't do it by the end of the year, based on what might happen with the dollar and exports. But at this point in time, you've got to look at your bottom line, and you have to look at how much of that crop you've already got moved. And if you haven't got enough moved, this is an opportunity.
I totally agree. I mean, I think if we get close to $4, I mean, when we hit $3.99 last time, everybody was ready to sell at $4.10, but I don't think we're going to get there unless, you know, pollination turns out to be terrible, which is pretty darn nice right now. And that's why I think Monday you may see a downside, because the weekend's going to be pretty nice.
Yeah, Monday night we start trade again, and then Tuesday, of course, Monday day trade, not around, or Sunday overnight trade, because we're on the holiday weekend.
Well, and one of the other things that's a little telling is yesterday when we closed the market, we closed at 382 3/4, and they settled it at 385 and 385 1/2. Today we closed at 385 1/4, and they settled it down at 384 1/2. That isn't a good sign that when the settlement comes in lower than what the finish was as far as a pickup for the next session.
Yeah, and I did make note on the December corn contract that while it was really, really close to putting in a weekly reversal to the upside, it couldn't quite manage, and it was it only a quarter cent off or something along those lines, could not take that extra quarter cent off to turn things around. All right, let's go to the beans. USDA's report showed 78.868 million acres of beans were planted. That compares to the average guess of 78.1, and the USDA prospective plantings report is 78.1, so more beans put in the ground. And then the soybeans at 571 million in stocks, that's what's on hand at Q3. What'd you make of those numbers when you saw them on that morning this week?
I think that's the high side of the bean acreage. There's a lot of beans that are prevent plantings. There are a lot of late beans planted, so we suspect these acres are really maybe adjusted later on with harvested acres. And also the yield becomes suspect that we can have as good a yield as we did last year. So two positives for beans.
I agree with you, Chuck. I think when you look at the bean side of things, this survey went through the 15th of June. And even at the 15th of June yet, there were people that were holding out, hoping that they were going to be able to get some additional beans into the ground. We're hearing some double crop beans going in, but going into some pretty poor conditions on the East Coast. And so, you know, I think we've seen the high on the beans, too.
I think you're definitely seeing the high on the beans. I think you got to use these numbers. Old crop stocks yet are still tight, which is still bullish for old crop. But the new crop with the higher acres and the higher ending stocks, I think you need to have your beans sold and think that it's going to go down.
Okay, so I want to clarify, because I've got two positives for beans, and you mean high on acres for beans,
high,
right?
High on acres,
so
yes.
So I've got two that are friendly and one that is...
I think you've got to be selling right now.
All right, so we do have some divergence in our, in viewpoint on the beans. Make your case. Why do you think we ought to be friendly to this bean market?
Because I think you look at this report as a trend changing from the standpoint, again, the big carryout can shrink pretty dramatically if the harvested acres go down. If you bring the yield down, the beans got lots of problems with wet feet. They're not like the corn recovering from this. The holes are out there all the way from Iowa to Ohio. We just don't think the bean number is going to be there. So we're not saying not to sell. We're just saying we give this market some room here, and there's an opportunity at higher levels that we'd go after.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think you have to be conservative about it. You need to have some downside protection in this, and I think you can achieve it using different put strategies. But at the same time, when you saw Informa come out today at 43.4, we didn't see much of a move in the market at all. you know, with a higher, even with a higher production level.
Well, right. You know, with the beans here, you know, everybody was saying beans was going to go down a month or so ago. And I said, too, it depends on demand. And demand was there. The ending stocks are low. And we're looking at a large ending stock here going into the end of this year. And with a huge world supply, it doesn't look very bullish for beans.
Our guests in studio today include Mike Georgie, who you just heard from Allendale, and Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. When we return, we'll talk with Jim Heminger. He's at Top Third Ag Markets and is their senior risk manager. This program is a production of Illinois Public Media.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist here at the Illinois State Water Survey within the Institute of Natural Resources Sustainability on the campus of the University of Illinois. Overall, this week was fairly quiet with near normal temperatures and rainfall. In fact, at the end of the week, it was very pleasant with mild temperatures, low humidity, and blue skies. Illinois has experienced the second wettest June on record. The statewide average rainfall for June was 7.8 inches, which is 3.7 inches above normal. The wettest June on record was 1902 with 8.4 inches. The largest rainfall totals occurred in the northern two-thirds of the state, where amounts of 7 to 13 inches were common. Southern Illinois was a little drier with amounts of 3 to 6 inches. The statewide average temperature for June was 74.9 degrees, which is 3 degrees above average. This turned out to be the 10th warmest June on record. According to the National Weather Service, warm, humid weather will slowly return to Illinois over the 4th of July weekend and continue into next week. Expect highs in the upper 80s and lows in the 60s and 70s. The 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecast call for near normal temperatures and rainfall for the northern two-thirds of the state. Southern Illinois has an increased chance of rainfall, which is probably what they need. The outlook for July for all of Illinois is for an increased chance of below normal temperatures and above normal rainfall. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm state climatologist Jim Angel.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is a special holiday edition of our program. In studio with us today, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of the Stewart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Illinois. Our guest by phone is Jim Heminger. He's with Top Third Ag Markets in Chicago. Jim, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome.
What are you telling your producer clients about selling new crop corn?
Take advantage of the rallies. There's no doubt that the corn market this week, the perception on future prices changed dramatically. It's interesting to note that the markets, the 5 weeks or the 5 days prior to the USDA report, that the commodity trend following funds had sold 50,000 contracts of corn on net. Commercials bought 52,000 contracts. And as we've seen since the January crop report, we've seen this pattern all spring. As we get these breaks, the commercials buy, trend-following funds sell. We get a rally, the producers start selling corn into it, the commercials sell into these rallies, and the trend-following funds get long on the top or our net buyers on the rallies. We believe that this market will continue into a trading range similar to what we've had all spring, possibly ratcheting lower. I don't think we'll see that the lows we saw on Tuesday, which on Dease corn was 343, will be taken out until we have a better idea on what actual yields will be as we get into late September, the beginning of harvest, maybe the October crop report. But end users will be much more aggressive on any kind of breaks buying corn at this point. But with non-threatening weather, it's going to be difficult to rally this market a great deal from this price level. Now, we still have summertime to go. It looks like we're going to get through the critical pollination period without a major weather concern. But there's still, this time of year, we have 2 to 3 months of weather. As we saw last year, we had the market break a great deal in July, stay low, look like we're going to have burdensome supplies. We have to remember, December corn last year traded down, even with the problems we had in planting, traded down to 302 in the middle of September, and then all of a sudden we had a weather issue again, and we tack on over a dollar a bushel in price. So the weather is going to be the determining factor here, and it's now the yield potential. Are these hybrids going to kick in and produce surprisingly good yields, or are there variable conditions out there? A lot of uncertainty on this, but this is, especially for producers sitting with old crop corn, but an excellent opportunity, almost a gift, being able to sell a 40 or 42-cent rally in just a couple of days. New crop corn have protection in place to catch these swings. We still have downside risk if there is no weather issues going forward.
The perception from the trade is that with the high ratings, this crop yield could be as high as 170. Darrell Good made a great point this week in wet Junes across the Midwest here. We have not been above trend line yield, even if you kick out 1993. So what would be your perception on the yield, and which direction do you think it's going?
Well, I think the perception that had been the case before Wednesday of these high yields is no longer in place. This talk about corn below $3 a bushel probably is we will not hear again. The reality is that this is going to be a very difficult year to get a good assessment on what the yield potential can be. And one thing, we have not seen a year where we've had conditions that these hybrids kick in with their yield potential. We started to see it last year before we had the wet weather conditions in harvest. We still haven't seen that. So the uncertainty here with the yield potential, I don't think we're going to be hearing 170 yields anymore, but even yields above 165 would start to be keep prices in check and maybe put a little bit pressure down on the downside. I could see until harvest, until we get a good reading maybe in the October 12th crop report, that we'll be in a trading range in corn, probably a 40-cent trading range with possibly 350 the low and 390 the high in these corn.
Jim, when you looked at the acreage shifts that went on, you know, the large drop in Iowa acres and the big increase in Illinois and loss in Minnesota, what do you think caused that? What's your opinion as to why there would have been that big a shift?
That is a good question. And I think I've never seen a report before that the trade was so wrong on where the potential acres were. You know, I believe it had to do with simply producers penciling out what their costs were, what the potential on benefits of yield, and that's actually a difficult read on where these the switch in acres went, and I don't have an answer.
Do you? You know, we're talking about your 390 on corn. Is there a potential for beans to go or corn to go a lot higher than that with if we don't get these higher yields? Because if we What I'm seeing is, since they lowered the acres, and if we don't get a 165 or something, we're going to have a tighter supplies of corn, and this thing could really explode.
It could. There is no doubt. And if you go back to some years like 93 when we had the heavy floods, we originally had a rally in late June, early July. The market backed off about two-thirds of the rally, and then we got into harvest and realized the excessive wet weather we had actually caused more problems with the yields than they realized. That's when the big move occurred, was as we went into harvest and realized the yields weren't there. And I believe that this year will probably be a similar pattern. I don't see, it was one of the panelists made an interesting note that the open interest hasn't changed on this rally. And all we've seen is a transfer of these funds that were heavy sellers the 5 days prior to the report, covering those positions and getting long, and the commercials who are buying cash corn from producers selling into the rally. So it has a tendency, there's no one group ready to push this market big now in any one direction. And unless there's a very hot finish to the summer, I don't see that to be the case that we would push this market too much higher than we are now. But if we get into September and we realize that the yields aren't there, that's when we could get another push up.
In 93, I think you might want to make note that that was, while the national yield was down and there were yield losses in fields outside of the floodplains, the bulk of that those losses would have come in the floodplains where they were total losses or zeros for yields, I would think. Turn your attention to the soybeans. Tell me what you think China will do once we get into November and December, and can they return with a real vengeance to importing soybean?
I believe China is going to continue to be a good longer-term buyer. One of the reasons is their corn prices has been trending up since the first of the year. Soybean meal and their feeding rations stays very, very competitive. They just don't seem to have an end to the appetite for beans. Sure, we had a situation a couple weeks ago that logistically they had a lot of the beans they had purchased showing up and they were backed up with their shipping schedule. They canceled some South American cargoes or moved them forward a month, but they're still showing interest in beans. The U.S. is still competitive with South America on price. We probably will see a few more cargoes of beans sold to the Chinese for late summer delivery. And I believe they'll continue the same appetite for beans, both from us and South America, that they've had in the last year.
Doesn't that give the corn a bullish footing, though? Because we saw what happened when China bought some corn. We were in the downsliding market. With the changing numbers here, I would think that would get the market pretty excited if China started buying any quantities again.
Well, with beans, with the acres they have, there's talk about now that we have the potential for a 400 million a bushel carryout in beans, which would be somewhat negative to price. I don't believe when we finally get to the final numbers because of the issues with the conditions in beans that that will end up being the case. But with corn, one interesting thing, I would not be surprised to see the Chinese start to be a more regular buyer of U.S. corn, not in large enough quantities to spook the market, but in just weekly sales or sales a couple times a month. I wouldn't be surprised to see them start to be a buyer of U.S. corn, which would be very, very helpful to help support corn prices, even if we did have a boost up in yields of, say, 65 or 68 or 165 or 168 a bushel the acre, which would increase the production capability. That would probably help support corn at a lower price. This week's totally changed the perception of where these corn prices could go, and I believe put a floor in until at least we get a better handle on what the yields are.
Jim, thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome.
That's Jim Heminger. He's with Top Third Ag Markets. Now, a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Mike Georgi.
Yeah, it's still going to be a very volatile summer. I think you need to get your sales or get your positions on to be ready.
And Jackie Bakes.
Well, I'd like to wish everybody a happy 4th of July and just take advantage of this opportunity, especially if you don't have enough sales made.
Chuck Shelby.
Try to remain flexible. We've seen huge swings here, so if you've got some pricing, look at some options or look at options as a selling tool.
Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Mike Georgi is with Allendale out of Bahamut. And Jackie Bakes is with Stuart Peterson out of Champaign, Illinois. Thank you for joining us here on the program. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.